I used to be complete averse and I will avoid. But then now I'm a little bit more assertive and I don't think I run away from conflicts anymore. That aspect in the marriage is important, then it carries over to parenting. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm Jo and I'm your host for this episode. Now, in each episode of Connect to Podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, even sex, and much, much more. So we hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. Now, we have this saying at Focus on the Family that the best gift that we can give our children is really to love our spouse. And so a strong foundation of marriage really helps us to be better parents to our children. Of course, this raises many, many questions about how we can truly work effectively with our spouse to parent our children. And so we're going to find out more about that in today's episode. Now, we have today with us our guests, Joelle and Jolene. Joelle and Jolene have been married for 9 years with 3 young kids. Before we go into topic, I'm actually going to ask them to describe or maybe even rate each other as a spouse versus as a parent. Joelle, welcome, and you want to start us off to introduce Jolene.
Hi everyone, my name is Joelle. My wife is Jolene, mother of 3 kids. No, actually sometimes I say mother of 4 kids lah. Yeah, I'm the 4th and the oldest kid. Think her as a spouse, I probably give an 8 out of 10. Mother, I give a 9 out of 10. She does a lot more mothering.
Including mothering you, is it?
Yeah, including mothering me, that's why. That's why as a spouse, it's a bit lower, but as a mother, it's higher.
Is this rating not a good thing? Should you just describe her? I don't know. I mean, are we going to have a conflict resolution?
I mean, she does a lot for the kids. Like, she's a mother, but at the same time, she's also the teacher. The kids like to call her Teacher Jill, sometimes our mommy teacher. Then she's also the chef of the house. She's a counselor. She counsels the kids when they got problems and so on and so forth. So yeah, she covers a lot of different roles as a mother.
That's usually a mother does.
Yeah, and that's what the mother does. As a spouse, she's my wife. That's what she does. I don't ask for much.
But you did rate her lower as a spouse.
Yeah, because she also has to mother me also. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she cooks for me and she does the meals for everybody.
So, Julie, I understand that you are a full-time homemaker and you're with the kids most times, whereas Joelle is helping with the family business.
Yes.
Third generation family business, in fact. So how would you rate your husband as husband, spouse, versus as a dad?
Hi everyone, my name is Jolene, as they said. I think as a husband, he is about 8 to 9. As a dad, it's probably about 7 to 8.
Oh, the opposite.
There's no perfect parent, and I feel there's no perfect spouse. So there's always room for improvement, and I feel we need to always grow as a spouse and as a parent. So as a husband, he is actually my pillar of support, and he's my calm when I'm in a stormy mood. There are a period of times when I'm very stressed up and like going through tough times, right? Then I realize that he helps to anchor me as a spouse. He is also my leader and you provide wisdom and like very clear logic. Sometimes when I'm like caught up in all my emotions and all the like minor details and stuff like that, he's able to like bring me out of it. Mm. Yeah, and then that plays a part in the parenting as well. Sometimes when I get too emotional, right, he balances me out lah. Yeah. Yeah, but there are also times that he's explosive, then I balance him out lah. Yeah, I rate him slightly lower as a dad because, I mean, by the fact that he's working full-time and I'm with the kids most of the time, so there will definitely be limitations on how much he can maybe understand the children. So sometimes I feel like I'm the bridge between the kids and him. But I know that he tries his very best to like be there for the children, like be present lah, after he comes back from work. Right. Thank you for working hard to be my spouse and to the kid's dad.
As a husband and wife, we know that firstly, parenting itself, as you said, there are no perfect parents, and parenting is no easy feat, even on our best days. And then on top of that, if we have to intentionally be working on a marriage, pursuing our spouse, I mean, this is a dual responsibility, not to mention work outside of that. How do we really juggle all this with so many things to do and so little time? How do we make our children a priority and yet at the same time, our spouse too? Oftentimes, in most marriages, when we are in the early parenting years, the children become a much higher priority than our spouse. I'm not sure if that was the case with you. Maybe you can tell us, like, when you're at already number three, and I think your youngest is four years old. I don't know how it was in the early parenting years. I know my husband complained when our child came along and he felt like the second class citizen and much neglected. So maybe you can tell us, how do you work on your marriage and prioritizing each other amidst your duties as parents? Like, how do you just juggle all this?
I think what you shared earlier on about your husband complaining, right? I think he complained before also.
Definitely.
Yeah, three definitely. Times around or just the first time?
No, actually just the
first two
kids.
Yeah.
And I think we also grew from that experience, like, because of what we went through, like, he complained, right? Then I know that, okay, I'm neglecting him. Moving forward, we are also a lot more intentional. Because to me, my parents' marriage was something I remembered, like, as a child, right? So then I wanted to, like, bring this to my kids. So when you mentioned at the beginning about how marriage is the best gift that you can give to your children, right? I believe in that. But then, like, when the rubber meets the road, I become a new mom, I got no capacity to go and handle my husband. Yeah, so there was a bit of trial and error in the early parenting years.
I think it helped that when our third kid came along, it was during the COVID period. So we were stuck at home together.
Okay, so you have that forced couple time.
Not really forced couple time, but it was a good thing that we can see what each one of us does during, like, when I'm at work. So COVID period, all work from home. So she can see what I'm doing. I'm concentrating my computer. I can see what she's doing in terms of manage the kids, like teaching them because they had to study from home as well. And stuff like that. So at least we were able to gain a better understanding by the time our third kid came around. Definitely COVID period helped.
Even though, like, people complain about the COVID period of time as being quite tough, it's true that during that period of time, I understood a little bit more about his work. Like, what exactly does he do? I think he gets to see, like, in real life, what is it like dealing with the three kids? But then, like, over the years, as the kids come along, we have done different stuff to kind of, like, make sure that we have time for one another.
Can you share what some of these things that you do to sow into your marriage?
So when our first kid came along, one of the things we used to do when the first kid came along is in the evenings after dinner, we'll put our first kid into the pram and then we go for a walk. Then as we go for a walk, we'll chit-chat, share about our day, share about our lives. Jordan, who is our oldest and sitting in the pram, he'll be enjoying looking outside and everything. Then it's easy for us, gives us time to spend with one another. When Jenna came along, then it became a bit more challenging, but then we also have to be intentional in trying to carve out spaces for us to have our date nights, spend time with one another. So very thankful that we have a community. So very thankful to the grandparents, or our parents, lah, the kids' grandparents, that they were willing to help out to take care of the kids, even like one evening a week, one afternoon, so that we just have that time to go out for a date, go out for dinner. Sometimes not even just dinner, we just go and do grocery shopping together.
So then, that's considered a date?
And I think when kids are around, definitely the amount of time that we have is limited. So whatever activities that we do together, we will treat it as time together, time spent, even if it's as simple as grocery shopping, grabbing a cup of coffee.
I think it's just like being away from the children. And then it's just me and you. I'm focusing on him and he's focusing on me, even though we are running errands for the family. When we are shopping at NTUC, we can be talking about other things other than children. I think over the years, I also learned to ask for help when I really need to. Like, I felt like I was just limiting myself to the grandparents, like my parents and his parents, to help out. But gradually I grew thicker skin to because I reached out to, like, the wider community, like, for us as Christians, we have church friends. So then we were asked, like, some friends, okay, just help to juggle the kids, look after the kids for like 1 hour and then we go and do something together. Over the years, we are thankful for such community support and family support. We've done quite a lot of other stuff also. Like, we managed to do Zumba together. Yeah, we did Zumba. You,
we've been doing Zumba
for many years. Actually.
So even before
when whose idea was that?
Marriage is one of the most rewarding things in life. Yet navigating marriage as newlyweds or an engaged couple can sometimes get overwhelming. Whether it's managing expectations of the in-laws, getting a good grasp of your family finances, or establishing good habits of communication and healthy conflict. Focus on the Family Singapore's Marriage Preparation Program aims to help you build a solid foundation in the early years and prepare you for the adventure of your life. Visit family.org.sg/C2Marriage Prep for more information today.
So she started it, then I join in.
And he's really good at it.
Yeah, I'm the only guy in the class.
Oh, as in like you do an outside class, like an outside Zoom group and attend it together.
And attend it together. So even before we were married, there was one activity that we did during our courtship days. Mm-hmm. Married, continued. Kids came along.
We tried to continue.
So we'll stop for a couple of months. Kids are first born. It's very hard to go for all these classes together. Mm-hmm. So definitely there'll be that period where your focus is totally on the kid, which is fine because it's only for that.
It's a season.
It's a season. Mm-hmm. So you just focus on your kids for that couple of months and then you slowly ease out and we can able to focus on one another again. Then we'll start back our classes and we'll do things again. So on and off, we've been doing Zumba for...
We watch Netflix also.
Yeah, I was going to say Zumba 10 years.
Yeah, got 10 years, correct.
Got 10 years.
Wow. We can be instructors already.
She's good enough to be an instructor. La. Nowadays, I mean, there's Netflix now. So we'll watch her K-dramas. I'll watch my C-dramas.
Together? Then, or? I mean, like,
sometimes together, but... Sometimes no, but I will like ask him. Usually most of the time he's the one asking me like, oh, so what are you watching? What's it about and stuff? But I'm not very interested in C drama. I try, but then I find it a bit hard. So basically there's this effort to try and enter into each other's world. Even though I don't really like Chinese dramas, but I will ask and I try to watch with him. I think we played some mobile games together before, so.
Pokemon.
We used to drive around together to go and catch Pokemon. With Jonan in tow.
Yeah.
So this was when you just had one kid.
I think same. When two kids and three kids, we still try and do the same thing. We still go for our Zumba. We still go for our... Okay, we didn't do our walks already, but we did our Zumba and then we catch up with one another over dramas. I mean, if there were occasions where we have a Saturday afternoon to ourselves, it was like, we go watch movie together.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's our time that we have.
I mean, it's great because it sounds like you intentionally find shared activities. And through that shared activities, no matter how short they may be, but you fully utilize them to connect with each other. Apart from shared activities, is it important to share other things, goals or values?
Jill mentioned just now that we are Christians, so we go to church. So in terms of goals, we are on the same page on in terms of values, like how we want to bring up the kids, what we want to do. In terms of parenting, like we always say we don't want the kids to know lying. Honesty is important. Safety is another one that's important. Rules for the kids, like things that we want the kids to do, always revolve around these values.
I think being Christian, we want to raise our kids with biblical principles. If we don't talk about parenting first, we need to have like a common set of beliefs and values as husband and wife first. Otherwise, I find it a bit hard to like align by the time you become parents. So like during courtship time, maybe discuss about our values and all. And then for us, because during courtship, we had the opportunity to attend like courses. So for us, we attended this premarital course called Prepare and Reach. So because it's guided and there's a detailed assessment, the exercises allowed us to explore what the values are in detail as individuals first. We did cover a chapter on parenting, but it was very general. In a sense, we don't know what we don't know until we became parents. Like, okay, we discussed it, everything, like, oh yeah, correct. And then, but actually, when the kids come out, we have to, like, change again. Or, like, readjust our expectations.
But in a sense that you already had this awareness that when it comes to parenting, because we do know oftentimes when the kids come along, the kids can themselves, or parenting itself can be a source of stress and conflict for the couple. So it seems like you already had some sense of anticipation that this might be the case and preparing yourself to have those conversations as to what would be the shared principles or goals in raising your kids.
Because personally for me, my parents, so I see them fight a lot when my brother and I were younger. I mean, now I see them as parenting issues because different value systems. I was like a sort of like a product of
clashing values.
Yeah, clashing values, correct. Entering courtship, I was very clear that I wanted somebody of the same faith.
Same faith because same that faith. Informs your values.
Yeah, my faith is someone that forms my values. So at least same faith, then okay, we won't be fighting so much.
Mm. I think also that when we did our Prepare and Reach, it helped us to align a lot of our values, our goals in parenting and in other areas as well. There was topics on communication, conflict. It helped build us up towards marriage and in that sense, parenting as well. I think we also, like after our first kid came along, we also attended Parenting with Confidence to try and learn more. Yeah. But that's it. When we attended the course, we had a very idealistic thinking about, okay, this is what parenting is going to be like.
Right. Then again, when the rubber hits then the road, again, it's a different thing.
When he grew up, then it's like, how, cannot apply, or it's like a bit different. It's like, so even though we have our own values, we still need to adjust our expectation in how to pass that same values down to our kids. I will talk about honesty, safety, and our faith also. So it's not been easy.
How do you actually navigate some of these conversations, especially when it comes to parenting, I suppose? One of the things that for couples would be when we find that we have clashing parenting styles, not necessarily differences in what we would want for our children, because I'm sure most, if not all parents, want our children to grow up healthy, with good set of values, in the case of faith, well-grounded in the faith that we hope to impart to them. But how do we navigate some of these things, like you said, when rubber hits the road and our different approaches to parenting may cause conflict? How does being a good husband or wife factor into these conversations?
Because if we don't communicate with one another, then it's very hard to resolve or talk about anything. So the first thing is we need to be able to communicate well, express our wants well to one another so that we can understand each other.
That's when being a better spouse makes you really a better parent.
Yeah, so over the years, we have grown in the way we communicate with one another and conflict resolution. Of course, it's still not the ideal, but I used to be conflict averse and I will avoid. But then now I'm a little bit more assertive and I don't think I run away from conflicts anymore. That aspect in the marriage is important, then it carries over to parenting. Yeah.
It's a good point. In each podcast, we typically address a frequently asked question that couples would have about marriage or dating. Today's question, actually from a husband about his wife, is this: in our early years of having children, my wife shared with me that she may have less time and energy for me as she needs to take care of the children. Our youngest is already in primary school, yet my wife still constantly tells me that she's tired and can't go on dates with me. Aww. I miss the times we had as a couple before the kids came. It seems so difficult to carve out time to work on our marriage while still fulfilling our roles as parents. Can you share what are some benefits of prioritizing marriage in the season of parenthood and some practical steps we can take to make it happen?
In terms of marriage versus parenting, one thing is that your spouse will be with you until the end. Your
forever.
Your kids,
till death do us part.
But your kids will not be there. Maybe when they're 21, 30, when they get married, they'll move out. You won't be seeing them day to day. So the only person that you'll be facing every day after that is going to be your spouse. If there is no intention to cultivate shared interests or things to talk about, when it comes 20 years down the road, then it's going to be like two strangers staring at one another in the same house. It will be very challenging.
Yeah.
So I think that is the immediate thought that comes to my mind. So if, like, for now, you can say if you have that interest in K-drama together or dramas together, at least you can watch them together, have something to talk about. In terms of best practice, thankful for our friends who are able to help take care of the kids to allow us that time to build up our interests together.
In a way, we do need to build a community around. It takes a village to raise a child, but actually it takes a village to also have a good marriage.
Yes, definitely.
Mentors definitely help in that sense.
Yeah, we are very thankful for our marriage mentors or different mentors that keep a lookout on us. With regards to that question that this couple had, the first question that I had in mind was, what exactly do you mean by going on a date? Because a lot of us, we have this romantic idea, like, I go on a date, must be candlelight, like a special carved out kind of period. Yeah. But then sometimes, I think it depends on where your season is. If, let's say, you are in a season of time where the kids are all very young, and then a date can be a simple thing as, okay, well, the baby's asleep, let's go, drink or something.
I don't know, sit by the couch,
sit by the
wine.
Couch, correct. Wine, then chill, watch Netflix, right?
Right.
Then in this case, person's child, the youngest is primary school, right? Yeah. Then I think it's more like working with what you already have and start small. It could be as simple as, when all the kids are done with their homework and they go and sleep. Then just spend time over the dining table, have a chat with one another. You don't need to think about going out. You start to build the connection first, at home with whatever. If it has to be at home, then at home. And then you slowly build up from there. I mean, I felt like, okay, going out on a date means I have no kids. And then I'm all dressed up, nice and pretty, go for a date. Reality hit, babysitter's not very easy to find.
like we said just now, sometimes our dates can be just our grocery runs and OC. Very simple, whatever pockets of time you can find, that can be your date.
But you just make your activity an intentional time for each other, right? Yes. That's what I'm hearing.
It's like the little things that count. It's not like one big extravagant act.
I mean, it's great to do those extravagant things, but I want to hear you saying, which I think is a very good practical tip, rather than wait for the time to and the opportunity for this elaborate, luxurious date. I mean, what you were saying, Jeline, is to start small.
Start small.
And start with what you have and where you are at.
Yeah, and then the daily little things that matter. So for his case, we have daily rituals kind of thing. So for him, his Joel's love language is touch. So before he goes to work, I pat him on the lid, kiss him, basically kiss him. Then he come back, I hug him. And then he knows my love language is acts of service. So when he comes back from work, he tries to take over the kids or like to do some housework. It's just these little things that like kind of like deposit love into their bank.
Fill up your emotional love tank. Yes. And I guess when we do that for our spouse and our spouse's emotional love tank is filled, it enables them to better fulfill their roles and responsibility as a parent too. We are running out of time for this episode, but before we wrap up, would there be any other word of encouragement or tips for our listeners about how they can really be a better spouse in order to be a better parent?
One word, persevere. Because there will be seasons where it's tough, but I mean, if you see that working on a marriage is important, like persevere and you'll get there eventually.
I mean, just keep doing the little things. The little things will slowly add up. Don't give up. Even if you fail, your date night this week doesn't work out, try again. Do the little things. Like she said, I'll give her a peck on the cheek. If let's say I forget today, never mind, there's always tomorrow. Just keep trying and trying and slowly build it up.
Keep pursuing your spouse.
That's a good one.
Our last one is to find a community. We feel that you can't do marriage alone, just like we can't do parenting alone.
Yes, marriage is two really people. It's not by one person.
But we do need that support. The whole village that raises our child should also help us in our marriage. Thank you. I hope you've been encouraged just hearing Joelle and Jolene share about their own marriage and how they have intentionally worked, even starting small, keeping on, keeping on, in investing and sowing in their relationship. And so in each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples, husbands and wives, to do and share with each other. So today's couple challenge is this. Write down one simple change, remember it's the small things, that you can make to your daily routine in order to intentionally prioritize connection with your spouse. So I think you've heard both Joelle and Jolene share some ideas about from being thick-skinned and asking for help with babysitting to really just capitalizing on putting the kids to bed and having time for themselves. And even if it's just, you know, having a simple glass of wine on the couch to connect with each other. Yeah, but what is that one simple change you can make to your daily routine that prioritizes your spouse? Okay, I will leave you to talk with your spouse if they are also listening in, or if not, share it with your spouse and share with them something that you have learned from today's podcast. So with that, we really hope that today's podcast has given you some encouragement that pursuing your spouse consistently and building a strong marriage really is the best investment you can give to your child and your children. So in our next episode, we're going to dive deeper into how and what has helped Joelle and Jolene have this wonderful teamwork to be better parents for their children. Meanwhile, if you are looking for more resources to grow your relationship and marriage, do visit our website at family.org.sg to browse our articles or to check out our upcoming events. We hope you have followed and subscribed to our Connect 2 podcast, and we hope that you share this episode with a friend who may also benefit from it. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, take care of yourself and your spouse.